Evening. It is great to be here tonight. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be back at my home congregation. We're in Columbia a lot, but I often travel, and really appreciate so much all of you. The work that we're able to do now is partly because of the encouragement that I received here, and I'm very thankful for that. If you would, please go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to be studying a passage here this evening, looking at more effective personal evangelism. I know this is a mission-minded church, and whether you are involved with several studies with non-Christians or you've never taught anyone the gospel before, we can all do a better job with our evangelism. And this is one of my favorite stories about Jesus as a personal evangelist, and I want to share a few points that I've learned here. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." And that sentiment was expressed very well in the song we just sang by Brother Wiles that led it. We've been freely given this message. What are we to do with it? This is our command. To share that blessing with other people. Jesus, in fact, lived this out perfectly, even before he gave this command at the end of his earthly ministry, before he went out to heaven. And one of these examples is in John chapter 4. But before we look at that, I want to look at a few quick prerequisites to effective evangelism. First, we need a basic faith in Jesus. This was the basis for the Colossians' successful evangelism, the Colossian church. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And while this may seem obvious, there are times when it's neglected. For example, there are some kids in the youth group that I worked with in Cleveland, Tennessee, that wanted to be involved in door knocking, but were not yet Christians themselves. We have to act on our faith before we can convey that message that other people should act on that faith. So we have to have faith in Jesus. I'm sure all of us here meet that requirement. Secondly, a basic knowledge of the gospel. And again, I'm sure all of us here have enough to be able to teach other people. Paul states in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he says, I memorized this as a little kid. The gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says. And then verse 17, for in it, in the gospel, the power of God is revealed, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we have the basic knowledge. It's our duty to share it with others. And then thirdly, which is a point that's often more lacking, an urgent concern for the lost. Remember Jesus' words in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, in the home of Zacchaeus. He said, "The Son of Man has come for what purpose? To seek and to save that which was lost." So these are things that are necessary for a church, for individuals, to be successful at evangelism. Next, let's look at Jesus in John chapter 4. And I really appreciate the emphasis that he gives, and I hope it'll be our emphasis too. John 4, beginning in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Verse 8, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So I want to look at what Jesus' emphasis was in his successful personal evangelism very briefly tonight. Number one, notice that Jesus recognized his opportunities. He saw, In this case, opportunities in the form of a person. And when we're thinking about personal evangelism, I'm not talking about opportunities of mission trips. And I know there are many opportunities. Take those opportunities. But as regarding personal evangelism, our opportunities are in the form of people. friends, family members, co-workers, acquaintances, neighbors, strangers, all of those from the eyes of Jesus are seen as what? Opportunities to evangelize. And then secondly, he takes advantage of those opportunities. And we'll look in more detail at how he does this. Specifically, I believe we can be more effective if we change our conversational habits. And I want to talk about several examples that I've seen personally this past 6 months. The first example is, what was the first picture? My mother-in-law, who had never heard the Bible before when I first met her. And my wife, Yaning, became a Christian. She used every opportunity that she had in basic conversation with her mother to talk about the gospel. And that became more difficult when we came back to live in Cleveland, Tennessee for 3.5 years. But this past fall, she obeyed the gospel. She and four of her friends were baptized on the same day. This is an important aspect of our relationships with other people. If we hope to have a relationship with God, and we hope that they have a good relationship with God. This is our biggest group of opportunity because it's the people we're around the most. The people that we have the most conversations with are going to provide the most opportunities for spiritual conversations. And so we better not neglect our friends and family. If we do, we're not using God's time wisely on the earth. The second group I want to talk about is a picture of a church that we meet with in Beijing. And particularly notice the two young men in the center. Kaya Jacobs is a college student from South Africa. And he visited worship because his friend, Joshua Astorga, who is a Costa Rican Christian, invited him to worship. And he was baptized last month, I believe. Obviously, we were here. So these are tremendous opportunities. If someone comes to visit worship, we already know that they're interested somewhat in spiritual things. Obviously, with a small church, it's much easier to recognize visitors. There's a chance that you might introduce yourself to someone who's been a member here 50 years. But that's a chance that we have to take because visitors may only be here once. And that may be our only opportunity to connect with this person, with the gospel. So we're very proud of these young men and others like them. Third example that I want to talk about is the orphanages that we work with. And this is a picture of 9 kids who were baptized in one day at one of the orphanages. The 3 adults on the back left are full-time employees. So their opportunity is through their work, through their job. It's part of their job to be able to teach these kids the Bible. And they, of course, want to do so anyway. And then the girl behind them, an American, learned Chinese. She's 18 years old from Tennessee, and she has 14 siblings, so a lot of experience with children. And she used another opportunity to go and to spend time with them. And we can see the good fruits of that. We need to take seriously the opportunity we have with children. That's one reason I love youth ministry so much, because we can make a positive impact on young people while they're still developing their most fundamental ideals and character traits. Incidentally, Jim and Jane Self also taught at this orphanage and several orphanages and did an outstanding job. They know these people better than we do, so you might want to ask them about further stories. But we're very proud of the opportunity we have to reach children in China. Okay, next. And finally, this is my friend Danny. I met him last year at English Corner, which is very popular in China, usually at universities. 200 or so people will come and just practice their English. And, of course, they discuss various topics. But I love to go because it's a great opportunity to bring up Christianity. And those opportunities are there. I didn't see it here in the U.S. I don't know why, when we have freedom of speech. But when we're limited in our speech, we pray for opportunities, and they're there. I met Danny. We lived close together. We got to go out to eat. He started coming to Bible study, and he was baptized last December. Personal evangelism starts with conversation. So it's with that conversation that we need to really focus on, I believe, as God's people striving to take the gospel to the lost. So let's look very, very quickly at what Jesus did. And I want to look at three basic things that he did. First, notice how he relates to the Samaritan woman. He actively engages her with small talk. Verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Four words in English, but it's a conversation starter. Chinese think Americans are weird because we like to talk about the weather so much. Obsessive, they say. But it's cold today. Yep, that's a conversation. Or the beginning of one. Americans, in turn, think Chinese are pretty funny for talking about how much things cost all the time. Nice pants, how much are they? Nice church building, how much is it? Nice pencil, what'd you pay for it? But that's a conversation. That's a conversation starter. That's an opportunity. And Jesus uses something very simple and small to start this conversation. But more importantly, notice what he does in verse 10. He immediately turns the conversation to a spiritual one, and I believe this is the key. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." So Jesus turns this conversation. It could have gone anywhere. They're just talking about water. They're not even talking. He's just asked for some water. And then she says, how is it that you... She notices the differences, right? Jesus actually breaks three big barriers in this conversation just by speaking to her. He breaks the racial barrier. He breaks the gender barrier. And he breaks the sexual misconduct barrier. All by just speaking to this woman. But those barriers are not very important to Jesus. What's important is that this woman hears about the good news of God. And I think it's also significant that this was Jesus' purpose. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 4. Jesus is healing many diseases. He's casting out demons. And then he wants to go off to be by himself in a secluded place. And of course, the multitude follows him. "Jesus, please come back to the city." But listen to what he says, Luke 4:43. "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. And John chapter 4 is no different. What was Jesus doing? He was traveling to Galilee. Why? To teach the gospel there. And while he was on the way to Galilee in Samaria, what was he looking for? Opportunities to teach the gospel. That was his goal. That was his life. And if that's our focus, we will see a lot more opportunities just in regular conversation to share the gospel with other people. And then third, you'll notice Jesus uses something physical and understandable to begin a conversation about something spiritual and a little more difficult to understand. In verses 10 through 15, Jesus talks about the spiritual water, comparing it to eternal life. And then verse 31 through 38, he's talking to the apostles. And he makes a reference to the harvest, talking about evangelism. So Jesus, of course, is the master at this, using parables, something people can understand to help them understand God a little bit better. And he uses it in just regular, everyday conversation. And I believe we can do the same thing. Secondly, notice that Jesus discusses a lot of important topics. He talks about a relationship with God three times. He talks about eternal life three different times. He talks about moral living, albeit a little subtly. He says, "Bring your husband here," and that conversation ensues. He discusses religious differences. And in fact, the Samaritan woman brings up the religious differences. And you'll find, especially in this country, when you're talking to someone about the good news of Jesus Christ, this is one of the first things that other people will bring up, differences. Well, Jesus answers those questions that she has, and then he moves on to something more important. And then Jesus also talked about worship, making the famous statement about true worshipers. And then he discusses himself, "I whom you speak of am he," talking about the Christ, the Messiah. And then finally, with his apostles later, he talks about evangelism. Seven huge topics. And it took me 4 minutes to read this story. 4 minutes. And Jesus covers these things. How many of these do we cover in a typical 4-minute conversation? I'd be pretty embarrassed to show my list up here. What about you? We cover a lot of topics. And we have to talk about a lot of different things. Life necessitates it. But if we can focus like Jesus does, I believe we can be a lot more effective in our evangelism. What's the result? Of course, more believers. Many of the people believe, and this outcast woman comes back to the city, and she says, "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And people believed. But what's even neater is when the people come out to see Jesus, he stays with them for a couple days. And then look down verse 42. "And they were saying to the woman, 'It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" Why do these people believe? Because they got to know Jesus. As God's church, as His people, the burden on us is not to baptize. The burden on us is not to answer every single question that the people we study with have immediately. The responsibility that we have is to share the message of Jesus Christ with people who haven't heard it before, or haven't heard the correct version, the biblical version of the gospel. And then God is the one who adds the increase. Sometimes we can put the focus in the wrong areas. I believe, in conclusion, that we could be much more successful in our evangelism if we could simply change our conversation habits and direct as many as possible toward spiritual things. Is this possible? Absolutely. If we're focused towards that end, if that's our goal, if that's our primary desire. Of course, we're at work. We've got to talk about work things. We're at home. We've got to talk about daily necessities. But there are so many conversations, if we would pray for the opportunities and look for them, that God gives us to talk about spiritual things. Unless it's taboo in your family, talk about God in holidays. Unless it's against company policy, talk about your relationship with Jesus to your coworkers. Absolutely, we've got to teach our kids. Every relationship is an opportunity. It feels a little strange at first, but Jesus was thought of as a little bit strange as well, and the results are well worth it. I want to encourage you tonight to continue to study this. I apologize for not reading through this entire chapter. There's a lot of details that I didn't talk about, but a powerful lesson for us as His people to try to bring other people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. What's your relationship with God tonight? If you're not a Christian, the Lord's invitation is always open. If you need to come back to Him and you need the prayers of the church, please come as we stand and sing.